A staple of Christmas reading and viewing is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. We all know the story whereby Ebenezer Scrooge transforms overnight from a miserly and mean character who only cares about money into a generous and kind neighbour and employer. Described as a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner at the start of the book, Ebenezer has quite an eventful Christmas Eve where he meets three ghosts. Representing the past, present and future, they persuade Ebenezer that his life is more worthy and he is worth more than the way in which he is living. They open his eyes to the world around him. By the end of the book, his transformation is complete, and he is full of the joys of Christmas, love and goodwill to all. It is part of our culture now, this book, and there are many different film versions of the story out there. The earliest surviving film made of a Dickens book was called Marley's Ghost and dates from 1908. There is perhaps the best known film called Scrooge from 1951, starring Alistair Sim as the title character. And there are many more modern adaptations, including A Muppet's Christmas Carol, which is far and away the best and most superior film version. No arguments. Dickens had an interesting life. His father was cast into a debtor's prison when Dickens was 12, meaning that the young Charles was separated from his family and had to work in a boot blacking factory for 3 years before returning to his education. His works include many great classics, the characters of which are often said to represent real people he'd encountered in his life. Much of his work was social commentary. He criticised the stratification of Victorian culture and the extreme poverty he witnessed. As was the case in the Victorian era, Dickens grew up with a strong understanding of Bible stories, having attended services at the local Baptist chapel. He wrote a simplified version of the Gospels for his children, in which he stresses that Jesus was a model healer and teacher. He appears to have understood Christ as a comforter of the distressed rather than as a saviour of mankind through crucifixion and atonement. There is much discussion about whether or not Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol as Christian allegory, but we can certainly see many religious themes running through it. One suggestion is that Ebenezer Scrooge is modelled on the rich man from today's Bible reading. Except, in Dickens' novel, there is the opportunity to make amends for past behaviours. Both characters have stockpiled their abundant produce. Scrooge is assured of his future by his careful handling of money until he meets the ghosts who show him a different way to be. The rich man, however, meets no such ghosts. He instead is confronted with God. In his book, Dickens treats his fool with compassion. Unlike the rich fool, Ebenezer is able to make right his life, to address his mistakes and perhaps attain a little wisdom. Unlike Ebenezer Scrooge, the rich fool does not have a chance to make amends. This is a passage which, on a surface reading, has been used to portray wealth as an obstruction to faith and as being lesser in God's eyes. And money is a common theme of the author of the Gospel of Luke. We, of course, remember that the Gospel authors all had an agenda in how they portrayed Jesus. And Luke was very much writing from an understanding of social inequalities. Jesus, who lived and ate with the poor of society, also had something to say about poverty, but perhaps this passage isn't simply about the wealthy being bad and the poor being good. The passage starts with a request for Jesus to arbitrate in a family argument, but this is rebuffed and instead a parable about the land of the rich man is given. Of course, in the many years that have passed since this story was first told, there have been multiple changes. Cultural, financial and intellectual differences can make it difficult to see beneath the surface of this story. But just as in all the parables told by Jesus, there are deeper meanings that wait for us to explore. The parable draws on the rich Jewish heritage that Jesus had. It may be faint to us, but the first followers of this story would hear echoes of Joseph and the 7 years of famine, which followed 7 years of plentiful harvest. Wealthy landowners would share their bounty with those who had little. It was the way community worked. Those with the resources were expected to care for others. The hoarding of wealth was to be condemned. The wealth must serve a public need through charity and almsgiving. We encounter this in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. The wise understood that to accumulate wealth was not the way to be more one with God. There was not a need for the wise wealthy to relinquish all their possessions, however. Rather, careful management and sharing of resources was the way to be closer to understanding God. Wisdom says that we find the meaning of our existence through the proper management of daily life. This includes enjoying all the goods we own responsibly, in addition to setting our lives in relationship to God. Human activity, which represented meaningful uses of possessions, could be enjoyment, inheritance, generosity, giving to God, hospitality, and alms. By these means could wisdom be found. And so it is that during Jesus' time, wealth implied a social responsibility. A wealthy landowner would be expected to provide for his neighbours after an abundant produce was harvested. If there was too much for the existing storage, more would be built. The wealthy landowner in this parable is following the pattern of Joseph in storing up the harvest for his community. He appears to be doing all as was expected of him. Yet the story takes a turn. This rich man is not wise. He wishes to keep all his produce for himself, to set himself up for many years in the future so that he can relax, eat, drink, be merry. It is at this point that the hearers of such a parable would have been struck by the shocking behaviour of the man. Here was no wise man. Here was no Joseph looking after the community. Here indeed was a fool. Perhaps here Luke's Jesus, who was very concerned with the poor, is speaking not of a problem of having possessions, but rather of mismanaging those possessions. The echoes of wisdom and Joseph speak clearly to responsibility towards others. The rich landowner has behaved in a foolhardy way. He has not followed the route towards a good relationship with God. In his selfishness, he removes himself from being able to be rich towards God. Perhaps then, that is what this parable is about. The rich fool doesn't recognise the need to have his life in order when his death becomes imminent. Is this then what we can understand here? We in our 21st century context don't have the same relationships with possessions and the land as the rich man here in the parable. But we do have relationship with others, and maybe for us, it could be that our route to wisdom or God lies in making sure our lives are right. Is it about making sure we are socially active, but also responsible for our own faith lives as a means to gaining riches in God? The parable gives us the means to understand that by mismanaging our lives, we move away from God. Perhaps by striving to attain wisdom, we come closer to the divine. Amen.